T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here's the pitch. Swung on, line sharply caught by Segura. Throw to first. Doubled off. Game over. The Phillies win it. Wow, what a finish at Fenway Park as Gene Segura takes another runner off the bases, and the Phillies have beaten the Red Sox 3-2.
I don't know who we should have for the postgame, Bogarts or Owings.
The voice of Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson last night, the call right here on WIP. Phillies win 3-2 up at Fenway Park. Larry Anderson joins us right now. Larry, Joe Giglio in for John along with Ike. You slept on it. Who'd you want for the player of the game last night? Was it Owings? Was it Bogarts? Because the Red
probably
Sox helped them.
Probably Bogarts. Bogarts because he was in scoring position when it happened. So, yeah, I would have opted for Bogarts probably.
Well, look, the Red Sox last night, L.A., they had chances and chances, and they couldn't take that game from the Phillies. But man, L.A., Aaron Nola last night, whenever there was trouble, he just found a way out.
He always does. Joe, he's this is a guy that, like, he doesn't get flustered. He doesn't, or as Charlie would say, frustrated. He doesn't, you know, he stays within himself. He's like, okay, this guy gets lead off double, I'm going to have to, you know, bear down. And he did. Every time he had somebody in scoring position or, you know, it looked like they had a chance to do something, he would shut it down. And that's what makes him so good. Any three pitches, if it's fastball, curveball, or change, he can throw it any time. And he's just so good at keeping the hitters off balance. I saw him in the clubhouse about an hour ago. I just went up, shook his hand, and said, "Hey, that was fun to watch. I appreciate that." And he just smiles. He's something. I tell you that.
I tell you, when this team has that type of momentum to sort of build off of, right? I feel good about tonight's game. I mean, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I just think that they'll take what happened with Nola, and it'll somehow transfer into tonight's game, and they may be able to get out of there with a two-game sweep. But just looking at this team, L.A., they had some energy come in last week, whether you want to attribute it to Charlie or whatever, pixie dust or what have you, and then you have the series against the Padres over the weekend that brings everybody back down to earth. So right now everyone's like, well, what do we have here? Do we buy all in, or was last week just – sort of a Charlie Manuel quick little jolt, and now we're back to reality?
Yeah, I think one of the things, it's like this team is having the hardest time, and, you know, we're more than two-thirds of the way into the season. We're three-quarters of the way through the season, and I think this team is still trying to find its identity. It's like, what are we? Is it a home run hitting team? Is it a team that can't play just for the home run? Is it are guys just underachieving, or is this what? I mean, I look at it like when you go through 4.5 months of the season like this, that's pretty much what you got after 4.5 months. I can't turn around and go, well, this team's gonna just go on a roll and win, you know, 30 out of 35 games, and you can't see it, and that's the thing. It's like I don't know if they know what kind of team they are. I really don't. It's baffling, the inconsistency with the offense. I think we know the pitching has been a struggle outside of Aaron, and I don't think – I was going to ask Gabe in his press meeting today if Nola was available today. you kind of hope he could be available for every game, but that's not the case. But the offense, you know, I don't think it's any secret that we know that the offense is going to have to carry this team for the last 40 games or whatever, 35 games. And it's, you know, I don't know if they can do that.
I don't know if they can either. Larry Anderson joining us here on WIP. L.A., the offense tonight again, the leadoff spot will be Rhys Hoskins. And look, he's a very good offensive player, and he's been that really since the day he came up. And you've been around a long time, L.A., and I know a lot of hitters could be streaky. Some guys get hot and they get cold. I don't know if I've ever seen a really good offensive player, and I think Rhys is that, be as hot and cold as he is. Like, when he is bad, it's this. And when he's good, you know, we'll see him at 7 home runs in 10 games or so.
Right.
Do you think this is going to change? Can it change? Or is this kind of what he's going to be?
I think it's it's kind of been what it's going to be to this point. It certainly can change. I think it can certainly get better and certainly get more consistent. But at this point, that's what we've seen. You don't see the even keel, you know, like a wave. It's like sharp, I don't know what it's called. If you go straight up and straight down and straight up and straight down and straight up and straight down, there's no like wave. That's just up and down. And you need that consistency of the in between, you know, your highs aren't too high, your lows aren't too low, but his highs are through the roof and his lows are, well, we're seeing it. And it's, I don't think it's something that changes a whole lot with him, because it's so much about his timing. And when his timing's off, it's bad. And that's what we're seeing. And, you know, at any time he can turn it around, but this is a prolonged as I've seen with Reese Hoskins and the struggles that he's had right now. He just seems like he's lost at the plate.
LA, what do you make of Gabe trying to get him going in the leadoff spot? And a lot of people are like, well, he's not a leadoff hitter. He should be in the middle of the order. He had him there for most of the slump. And now, from the way Gabe describes it, he's trying to get the most out of what he knows Reese brings to the table each night, which he does take pitches. He does walk. So at least he's kind of getting that out of him. Do you think leadoff is the right move for Reese right now? Bottom of the order, keep him in the middle. What do you think about where he bats?
I go back to what an old pitching coordinator of mine back in the 70s said. He said the first inning and the last inning are like the takeoff and landing on an aircraft carrier. That's the most vital, the most vital times. Well, and I take that to heart. If the first inning is important, why are you putting a guy in there that's not hitting anything right now? He's taking a swing. He couldn't hit water if he was in a pool right now. And Gabe keeps saying, you know, well, he sees a lot of pitches, but I would rather see somebody getting on base a lot than somebody seeing a lot of pitches. And that's just, it's a difference in philosophy is all it is. I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm not saying Gabe's right. I think it's just different beliefs. And to me, to put a guy that is struggling and has been struggling, it's hitting .150 or less in the last month and a half, or month. I don't know why I want to see him get more at bats at the top of the lineup. It doesn't make that much sense to me. But Gabe likes the fact that he sees a lot of pitches, which it does. It runs his pitch count up, but he can run his pitch count up hitting seventh too, and that's my feeling.
L.A., when tonight up in Boston, Drew Smyly, he's been a guy that's been a couple good starts, a couple not-so-great starts. What have you seen from him? He has his work cut out for him tonight against really a tremendous Red Sox lineup.
Yeah, it's a great lineup, but I look at Smiley's career numbers against him. In 10 games, 8 of them starts, he's a 3-1 record with a 2.18 ERA. And I think the fact that he's got good numbers against Boston, when you're pitching, and whether you're struggling or going well, when you're facing a team that you've had success against, you generally are going to continue to have success against them. And I'm not saying that he's going to go out there and shut them out and throw 7 shutout innings, 4-hit ball. But generally, as I said, when you pitch well against a team, you take that confidence with you. And the confidence is a big, big help and big boost in a game like this.
Last one for you, L.A. Larry Anderson joining us here on Marks and Reese. Tonight up in Boston, and then Miami, and then next week Pittsburgh before the Mets come in. I know the Red Sox are still formidable, but L.A., this feels like we're in the midst of their final chance. That September schedule is not easy. If they're going to get on a run and actually win, you know, something like 7 of 11 and actually creep back towards the top of the standings, do you feel like it has to be now or never for this team to have a sustained good run of a week or two?
Yep. I don't think there's any question about it. Facing a couple teams that not playing that well, you have to beat them, and I think we're one game over .500 against the Marlins. That's got to change. You know, we can't go down there and win one game, and you know, obviously you'd like to win three, but if you go down there and win two out of three, you just have to win two out of three of every series. Win two out of three, two out of three, two out of three. You don't have to win every game, but especially against these lower echelon teams that losing records, they have to beat up on those teams, no question.
They do. Tonight, you'll be on the call with Scott Fransky up at Fenway Park. L.A., we'll be listening. Enjoy your trip up to Boston.
Appreciate it, brother.
Sounds good, fellas. Appreciate you. Take care. Yep.
There he goes. Larry Anderson there. Yes, it is Smiley tonight on the mound against Rick Porcello. I'll give you the lineups coming up in a few minutes. Right now, though, we go back to the phone lines. Colin in Wilmington. What's up, Colin?
Hi.
What's up, Colin?
Thanks for taking my call. When I heard this topic today, I just had a call in about a horror story for fantasy football. It was December of 2017, and it was a championship game. It was the day after Christmas. And I remember the game because it was an Eagles game versus the Raiders. And it was the end of the game, and he had the Eagles defense, and I had Jake Elliott. And I had it all wrapped up until that fumble that the defense scored a touchdown on. And then all I needed was one extra point. And instead of Jake Elliott coming in to take the kick, Doug Peterson took a knee. And I remember the game so well because it was a 9-point spread, and not me, but some other people had some money and needed that extra point as well. And instead of me getting the extra point on that extra kick,
it's crazy what you remember from some games, Colin.
Because I remember it just as well as the Super Bowl. Right. I remember exactly that game like it was yesterday.
Yeah, the funny part is because you had action on the fantasy part and the people on the gambling part. I remember that as the game Nick Foles didn't play well. It was cold that night. They clinched the home field advantage throughout, right, and everyone started to be concerned about Foles. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, of course.
That was a bad game.
Yeah, it was a bad game. They looked like garbage.
They lined up for championship week.
Yep. Colin, what do you want to say on the Phils?
On the Phils, they were expected to be about an 89-90 win team, and it's not going to happen this year. They're going to underachieve. So I think that somebody's going to have to take the heat, and unfortunately it's Kapler. I don't know if he's the real reason, but in the end it's going to have to be somebody, and there's not going to be anybody else but Kapler that takes the heat.
Yeah, I feel that too, Colin, and I'll say this on that. If you take away Andrew McCutcheon and the entire bullpen from an 89-win team, it's probably an 84-win team, and that's probably what they're going to be. And that's probably not a reason to fire the manager.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.